We open our Bibles to Psalm 137. Psalm 137. And one of my favorite psalms, and hopefully it'll be a blessing to you tonight. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof, for they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. For if I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Remember, O Lord, the children of Eden, the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it even to the foundation thereof. O daughter of Babylon, who art thou to be destroyed? O daughter of Babylon, who art thou to be destroyed? Happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight. Help us to look at the place where we are at and the place that you want us to be. Lord, help us to look at our spiritual condition of our own hearts, Lord, that we desire every day to draw closer and closer to you. Lord, this is a day of remembering and a day of thanking, and thank you for the testimonies that were given tonight and the people that rejoice in you, and children, Lord, even being thankful for what happens in this church. But we pray, Lord Jesus, that you speak to our hearts tonight, that you will be glorified. Lord, I say that humbly, that you will be glorified and exalted in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Really, when you read this psalm, the way that it ends is a strange ending to a psalm. It's really a brutal ending to a psalm. But I want you to understand a little background of how this psalm was written. This psalm was written when Israel was in captivity in Babylon. It was written at a very down time of Israel. Israel had continually disobeyed God, and God kept giving them a warning through the prophets, through the prophets. God gave them warning after warning through the priests that they needed to come back to him and repent and come back to him. But Israel, over and over again, would have time where they would follow God with their whole heart and then slip away. And then another king would take over and lead Israel deeper and deeper into sin. See, and Jerusalem would come even after the divided kingdom. We see that Israel kept in their sin, the kingdom became united again, and still they kept in their sin and fell into captivity and were captive under the hand, and at last they fell captive under the hand of Babylon. And Babylon really brought much evil upon them, and brought evil because God used Babylon. I want you to understand this. God used Babylon to bring judgment upon Israel. God will use things in our life and situations in our life to get us to the place that he wants us to be. And here God uses this situation, this captivity, to bring Israel to the place where he wants them to be. And the psalmist really here is not a prisoner of war, but he's a prisoner of want. He wants to be back in the place where he need to be. Here he's singing of a time when the believers were in Babylon, and these believers were also in bondage. And once they have been overjoyed with the fragrance of Babylon, they had been in Israel, and they have been freedom now. They have known what freedom was, but now they find their place in bondage. Instead of enjoying the blessings, they're enduring burdens. Instead of fruitfulness, now it turns to barrenness. Happiness turns to bitterness, and joyfulness has turned to brokenness. Now, it doesn't surprise you, because Babylon here always leads to barrenness. It is interesting that Babylon here is the area of sin. Tonight, If I'm going to talk to you about something, it's the backslider's burden. Here is this nation of Israel who had known God and was given the law of God, but now they are backslidden in their hearts. They have been carried away captive into Babylon. And here, from the depths of their despair, there in the depths, because Babylon here is a picture of iniquity, it's a picture of the world, and it's a picture of sin, they begin to sing how they remembered Zion. And here they sing for the very first verse. The very first thing they said, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. And yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. They're making a memory of their land. Here, Zion also is Jerusalem, is their land. And here, these that once have beheld freedom and enjoyed freedom now find themselves in a place of bondage. There are two types of people that are in this city. They are the captives and the captors. Now, the captive represents, of course, the Christian, the saints, the people of God. The captors represents sinners, children of this world. And it's a picture of believers in Babylon, Christian who are in captivity. And I want you to know, the happiest people in Babylon tonight are the Babylonians. The saddest people, listen, they have a, here we see in this verse, first of all, we see a sadness they cannot escape. It really begins as a sad verse. He said, by the rivers of Babylon, we sat, and all we could do was, we sat down, and yea, we wept as we made memory of Zion. There was no singing because they hang their harps upon the willows in the mist thereof. Not only is there a place of captivity and a sadness and a brokenness, but there is a misery in their hearts. By the rivers of Babylon, we wept. You see, here they are. From the very first day that they came into Babylon, there was a tremendous difference between the homes that they left and the homes that they find themselves now. Between the situation of freedom that they left, and now they find themselves in misery. Now I want you to stand. They were absolutely miserable. You see, one of the things we need to understand, there is a tremendous difference between being lost and being saved. Both a lost person and a saved person, you know, they can sin. They can fall into sin. But I'll go a little further than this. Both a lost person and a saved person will sin, but the difference is that only one of them can really enjoy it. There's only one person that would really enjoy sin, and it's the person who is a sinner. You see, someone that loves God and loves the Lord will never enjoy being in a backslidden condition, will truly never be happy. You see, God will love you so much that in your heart you may go down to Babylon, but he will never let you enjoy it. Understand that. God will love you so much. He's given you a free will. He's given you a choice that you can make. And God will love you enough not to force his will upon you and will let you go down onto Babylon. But I want you to know you'll be miserable because of it. There's Christians tonight that are miserable and are by the rivers of Babylon, and all they can do is sit down and weep. We sing the song, Come Thou Font of Every Blessing. If you knew the story of the author of that song, he kept having a situation where he will be in the will of God and out of the will of God, and in the will of God and out of the will of God. And he wrote this beautiful song called Come Thou Font of Every Blessing. One day a lady met him in the train and asked him and said to him, aren't you the wonderful writer of that song that was Come Thou Font of Every Blessing? Tune my heart to sing thy grace. Weren't you? She goes, yes, lady, I was. But I wish I was now. I wish I had now what I had back then. And sometimes we find ourselves in this place, and all we can do is weep in Babylon. There was misery in their hearts. Now, if you, I want you to know, God will use Babylon to get you in the place where he wants you to be. You know, sometimes we think about America, and I think about, I love America, and I'm wondering what God is going to use to bring us to the place that he wants us to be. He used Babylon to bring Israel to the place that he wanted them to be, but now they find themselves captive and weeping because they are a broken people. They're brokenhearted. Why? Because they're fallen into sin. Look at Jeremiah 25, 1 through 11, please. Jeremiah 25, 1 through 11 with me. And the prophet of God had given the children of Israel a warning. Even after the reign of Josiah the king and the mighty revival they had under Josiah, after the death of Josiah, they went back and fell into sin. And here the prophets in Jeremiah issues a warning. Look at verses 1 through 11, the word that came unto Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, the which Jeremiah the prophet spake unto all the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even unto this day, that is thee, and the 20th year, the word of the Lord hath come unto me. And I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye have not what? Hearken. He said, I have talked to you in early. I have given you the warning. I have given you the warning early, but you have not hearkened. And the Lord had sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened nor inclined your ear to hear. Then he said, turn ye again now, everyone from his evil way, from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord hath given unto you and your fathers forever and ever. And go not after other gods to serve them and to worship them. And provoke me not to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do no hurt. But ye have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that ye might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands and to your own hurt. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and a hissing and a perpetual desolation. Moreover, I will take them from the voice of myrrh, from the mirth, and the voice of gladness, and the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, and the sound of the millstone, and the light of this candle. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And here God prophesies about their captivity. Why? Because they've fallen to the place where God said, I've spoken to you, I preached to you, I passionately gave my heart to you, but you will not hearken. I want you to see something in verse 9 of that of that scripture in Jeremiah. Notice how it says Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 9, Jeremiah chapter 25, I flipped my own page, so I'll get back there. But look at how it refers to Nebuchadnezzar. And behold, I will send and take the families of the north, saith the Lord. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my what? My servant. Now, a wicked king. A king that represents wickedness and sin. He says, he is my servant. How is he God's servant? God uses him as an instrument of bringing Israel to the place that they should be by allowing Babylon, by allowing Nebuchadnezzar to bring judgment upon Israel, by bringing them to the place of captivity. God uses instruments to do his work. He says, listen, God is something. God took a pagan king ruling over a pagan army, living in a pagan land, teaching pagan laws, serving pagan gods, and use him as a rod of discipline to punish his own people. You know, I'm glad that the Bible says that God is a God that chastens. Amen. As a father chastens His son. I'm glad that God lovingly allows things to happen in my life to bring me to the place where He wants me to be. I'm glad that God, listen, will use instruments and things in my life to bring me to that place. Here is a wicked king, a wicked ruler, and God becomes an instrument of God to bring Israel to the place that He wanted them to be. Now, some people said, if God really loved them, why would He have done that? It is because God loved them that God did that. Look at Jeremiah 24, 5. In that same scripture, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive, Judah, who I have sent out of this place in the land of the Chaldeans for what? Their good. You know, a long time ago, I realized that God uses things that are for my good. Amen. No suffering seems joyous at the present. It never does. Listen, God allows certain things that may not look right at a certain time, but God uses them to bring me to the place that I should be. As a parent, when I spank my children, they don't enjoy it. By the way, I don't like spanking my children. And when a parent tells you, you know, number one, when we tell our children, this will hurt you more than it hurts me, I know that's not true. But I want you to know in my heart, there is a pain that really hurts me. I hate to carry out judgment upon my children, but I realize that if I don't do it, I am neglecting God's order to bring good upon my children. For the Bible tells me that the rod of discipline must be used to bring about, to conform. The Bible says if I spank him, he will not break. God will use, listen, discipline to bring him to the place. And God also will bring discipline in my life to bring me to the place where I need to be. He loves me too much to let me enjoy Babylon. Secondly, there's a memory of their home. They sat down and they wept as they remember Zion. Zion here represents the holy hill of God. It represents the throne of God. Their harps were heavy and their harps were hung. They hung the willows upon the midst thereof. They are in the shadows of weeping and sadness because they've fallen away from God. Fallen away from the presence of God. I admit that I feel sorry for people who don't know God, who never has experienced the joy, and that comes because I'm in relationship with Jesus Christ. As our dear sister said this morning, I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm so glad I know Jesus Christ. And I tell you, I'm so glad that I know Him, and I'm so glad that in Him there is a fullness of joy. But can I submit to you tonight that the saddest person in the world is not the person who does not know God, but the saddest person in the world is the one who does know not God, but is the one who's out of fellowship with Him. It's the saddest person in the world tonight. Person who's out of fellowship, who does not live for Him, who at one point desired to do so much for God and has found himself falling away from God. At one point knew what it was, His good. Man, isn't the goodness of the Lord great? Isn't the greatness of God, the salvation that we possess, is a great salvation? There's so many today that are so-called Christians that live their life like the devil. Really, who lived their life like they'd never known Him. And can I tell you, they could care less about living holy. They could care less living separated lives. They just want to live. They call themselves Christians and live their life previously. I'm amazed by people who want to enjoy the benefits of peace in the Word of God, but never want to live their lives for Him. I was telling somebody, everybody wants the success that is found in the Word of God, but when it comes to paying the price of living the Christian life, they don't want that part. I wish I could pick and choose what verses, you know, what things I would like to do. I like to have a peaceful home. I like to have a holy home. I like to have a loving home, but there's conditions in the Word of God that God gives me that I need to meet, and those conditions are the ones that God wants me to have. God wants me to have a prayerful home. God wants me to have an obedient home. God wants me to have a home that is devoted to Him. Those are the things that God wants me to have. The saddest person in the world, like I said, is one who is away from the Word of God. Listen, I don't know why there's so many so-called Christians today that can live a life away from God and never shed a tear. That's because, you know what? They never really knew the God of peace. They never really knew Zion. They never seen in the place where you can be in the presence of God. They don't know what it is to walk with God because they never really walk with Him. You know why many people, drop out of church and why many people think, well, you know, I tried it, but it doesn't work for me, is because they never really had a fellowship with Him. Look at 1 John 2:19, please. 1 John 2:19. What does it say in 1 John 2:19? It says very clearly, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For they have been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. And here John is speaking, and he tells the little children, he says, listen, there's some out there that call themselves Christian, that say they are followers of God, but really, when you look at it, they're no part of us, because they stand there weeping in Babylon. You know, you can attach a leech to a body, and it can attach itself and suck on that body, but it will never become part of that body. Just like in the Christian life, you know, we can try to join ourselves by our own volition, but unless we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we'll never know what it is to be in the presence of God. One wrote a poem that says, "Where is the blessedness I knew when I first saw the Lord? Where is the soul refreshing view, O Jesus, and of Jesus and His Word? What peaceful hour I once enjoyed, how sweet their memories still, but they have left an aching void the world can never fill." I want you to know, if you're a Christian not living for God tonight, you are the most miserable person in the world. You have no peace within yourself. Not only can they not sing, not only has the devil stolen their joy. Their joy is gone because they're weeping by the rivers of Babylon. They're making memory of Zion, the place of God, the place of the presence of God, and they have no peace. They have no singing, for they are hung their harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. You know what? It's reference always. What does the Bible say? Be not drunk when wine were in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. How? Singing to yourselves in spiritual songs and hymns. You know, and one of the things that the devil will steal when it first steals your joy is he steals your singing. He steals your singing. Singing is not like it was now, because that joy is gone. Here these children of Israel have placed their harps upon the willows. They hung them up because they don't have the joy that comes with living in a fellowship close to God. For they that carried us away captive required for us a song, and they that wasted us required mercy, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Now they're enduring the sarcasm. It is interesting that sins will bring more than just slavery. Sin will bring you shame. I want you to know, it's one thing that is lost in our society today is shame. You know, people practice openly today what would be considered shameful years ago. And here, sin brings about shame. The world, listen, is not interested in anybody, really, in scandals. The world is not interested in a Christian that's living his life for God, or a Christian that is living right, but will take a Christian that falls and put him on the newspapers and put him everywhere. He's interested on Christians. The world is interested on seeing Christians fall. You know that Satan right now, what he wants to do with your life is make you a public broadcast. The world is interested in scandal. If you don't believe that, look at the whole Tiger Woods incident and how it's taken off. The world loves a scandal, and especially when a Christian falls. Why? Because first of all, we are not of this world, and we ought never to be happy in it. Jesus said in John 15:19, if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, wherefore the world hateth you. Remember years ago how publicly when Jimmy Swaggart and all these so-called preachers fell, how the world just loved to ridicule and sarcasm a Christian that finds himself not living for God and in sin. They always stand there and they shout loud and they're waiting for someone to fall, and Satan is waiting there to make you a public outcast and to publicly shame you when you fall. Here they are crying. Remember Samson? When Samson, God has given him the secret of his strength, and because of his being deceived and being, of course, the falling for the subtlety of Satan under Delilah, he went three times, and boy, there must have been some type of backslidden date that he didn't realize when it happened to him. Three times, she said, tell me the secret of your strength. And first of all, she says, well, if you tie me with new cords, that will do it. That will take away my strength. She tied him with three cords. The Philistines are upon thee. He wakes up. And every time she told him, he told him something new and he lied to her. She tried to see if that would keep his strength. That's foolishness. Truth of the matter is, Samson should have realized that he was being deceived, but Satan was so subtle. And really, he was so involved in his sin with this woman that he could not see. And at the end, finally, when he told them the secret of his strength, they made a public shame of him. In fact, the Bible says they brought him to a place where they could make sport. That's what they call it then. And they put him in a place where the pillars were. And we know the story that Samson then cried to God. And as things happened, you know, his hair grew back. And God destroyed Samson, destroyed so many of the Philistines that the Bible says in his death, he destroyed more Philistines than in his life. But I want you to know what a great tragedy it was. This backslidden believer, for these believers now that I find themselves in Babylon. Now they're bringing disgrace and they're asking them, sing your songs now. You know what they're really saying? Go ahead and try to sing to your God now those songs of deliverance. Can I submit to you, Christian, that when your life is full of sin and the devil has taken your joy, the last thing you want to do is sing. The last thing you want to do is proclaim God and begin to cry out to God. Here, the Babylonians come up and says, go ahead now, try to sing your song. I know, go ahead and sing about how great your God is. Go ahead and sing about how great you won't see the greatness of God because you're out of fellowship with him. And really, they're saying it in a cunning way. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? That's why it gets me when I see these so-called performers that claim to know Jesus Christ, and along with their garbage rock music, try to interject a hymn or something like that and think that they can sing it and everything's going to be all right. I want you to know that's not God's plan at all. They're still in Babylon. They're still in a place of captivity. Not only is there joy that is gone, but there is a song that they cannot sing. You know, the reason that the song that they could once sing was stuck in their throat and they couldn't sing it because they were in a foreign land. Only those that are really free can sing. Only those that have been delivered from bondage can really know how to sing. David used to, in Psalm 32:7 song, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. The songs of God are songs of deliverance. In fact, if you read the 15th chapter of Exodus, there that we find the first song that was sung as they crossed the Red Sea, and it was a song of deliverance. There's only one thing that can rob a saint from his song, but it's the fact that he is in bondage. Because the fact that he's living away from God. There's only one kind of sin, only one kind of thing that can rob a saint from his song, and that is sin. There's only one kind of sin that can rob you from your song, that is your sin. And when you're a backslidden believer in Babylon, there's only one thing to do, and that is to take down your harp and hang it upon the willow tree. You see, that's significant. What it meant is, you just can't sing anymore. What it means is, my joy is gone. The place of hanging your hearts is the place of being so distressed because you're so involved in sin that you just give up when you hang up your heart. Many Christians tonight that have fallen into this area, and instead of being joyful now, they've come to a place where the joy that they have is gone, and all they can do is hang their hearts and weep because the life they once had, they no longer have. The freedom they once enjoyed, they no longer can enjoy. The joy that was part and significant of their life, that was a witness to the world that Christ had come in and changed their lives. Now they hang their harps upon the willow tree because their lives are so involved in sin that they find the songs of captivity. In fact, we are told to be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. There's nothing that will put a song in your heart and a smile on your face and a bounce in your step, knowing that you're clean before the Lord. Amen? Knowing that God has cleansed you and that you have been redeemed. One time, a young man had a cage of, came across a preacher who loved all kinds of animals, and he had this cage filled with all these sparrows, and he said, what are you going to do with the sparrows? He said, well, I'm going to keep them. He says, and then I'm going to play with them. He says, and what do you do when you're all done? He said, I'm going to kill them all. I'm going to feed them to my cat and kill them. And the preacher, being the person that he was, he says, listen, little boy, how much would you like for the cage of the birds so you won't kill them? He said, sir, well, I don't know, maybe $5 or $6. The preacher took the money out of his pocket. He says, man, he says, would you sell me that cage for that? He says, not only will I sell you the bird, sir, but I'll give you the cage as well. And that day, that preacher went out and he took the birds, the frightened birds, and he waited until the little fellow left, and he walked into the alley and he took that cage and broke it apart and released those birds into the sky, and they went higher and higher. And all of a sudden, as he released them, all of them began to sing once again because they have been freed. You know, I want you to know we ought to be singing the songs of the redeemed. One of the songs we ought to sing the loudest is redeemed, redeemed, redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, redeem his child, and forever I am. Here the children of Israel found themselves in Babylon, and all they can do is wept. Here God gave them the warning. Here God told them, he said, this is what you have to do, but you will not hearken unto me. And how many times hasn't God spoken to us, and we have not hearkened unto the Lord? I fear for America, for it's had warnings and preachings and teachings and churches that are proclaiming the word of God, but they will not hearken. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6 with me real quickly, please. And we'll close with that tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And God tells the children of Israel, he says, be careful of one thing. He says, be careful of one thing. He says, I want you to fear the Lord and keep his statutes and keep his commandments. And he says, listen, but be careful of one thing. Look at chapter 8 of Deuteronomy. He says, and all the commandments which I command thee this day shall be shall be observed to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord thy God sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in your heart. See, the reason we backslidden is because it's a heart condition. Does God really have a heart? Whether to know whether thou would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger. And he fed thee which manna which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that a man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the man, out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider this in thy heart, that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in this way, and fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, land of brooks, and water, and fountains, and depths of spring, and valleys, and hills, and the land of wheat, and barley, and vines, and fig trees, and pomegranates, and land of olive oil, and honey, and land where thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in the land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Listen, given thee. But then he gives him a warning. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments or his judgment, and his statutes which I command thee this day, lest when thou have eaten. You know, one of the things that America can say tonight of her prosperity, but look at what he says, lest when thou hast eaten and are full, and has built godly houses to dwell therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou shalt forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Truth of the matter is, many of us are in bondage tonight because we've forgotten where the Lord has brought us through. And instead of having joy and instead of having gladness, we hung our harps upon the willows. We cannot sing the song of joy anymore. We cannot deal with sarcasm because the shame of the sin that had cost us. Because we hung our harps upon the willows. Why? Because we forgot the Lord our God. We have been bought with a price. We have been redeemed with the precious blood. But we come to the place where we've gotten so much and are full that we've forgotten God. Then what's the way back from a backslidden heart? Come back to the place where you left them. You know, the children of Israel, they were delivered and came back to the place of Jerusalem once they cried upon God. The truth of the matter is, we need to focus away from the circumstances and get out of the sin that so easily beset us, and begin to once again fall into that fellowship with God and desire above your chief joy to have a close fellowship with God. How's your fellowship with God tonight? If you're a sinner and haven't been saved, tonight is the opportunity for you to be saved. Let me tell you something. You may enjoy sin now, but you always will not. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. For the sinner and for the Christian as well. Listen, you, if you're a Christian tonight and you're living in sin, you're not a happy person tonight. But misery has filled your heart. God wants to deliver you to that place where you once again can sing the song of deliverance. Has the devil stolen your joy tonight? Has the devil robbed you of the place where you need to be with God because you are found yourself in the strange land? Forgetting God. I'd like you to bow your heads tonight. Every child of God should be able to sing at any moment. I am redeemed. I am right. I come clean before the Lord. There's nothing in the world that a word of God that says a backslidden Christian who ought to remain that way. You may backslidden, you may be backslidden tonight, but you don't have to live that way. You certainly don't have to die that way. Jesus gave his blood not just to save you from the penalty of sin, not just not even one day to save you from the presence of sin, but Jesus now wants to save you from the power of sin. Don't take down your heart. Tune your heart and let Jesus put that song back in your heart that you may retrieve that heart from the willow tree and begin to sing with joy the songs of Be the Living. You probably say tonight, things aren't like they used to be. I don't get excited of anything at church any longer. It seems that although the things of God are not as exciting as they used to be, I just don't have any joy. Listen, if that's you, I hope you come to the feet of the Savior tonight. If you've never been saved, come to that place where you can be saved. Jesus wants to save you from your sin. Christian, if you wandered far away from home, sing the words of that song as you come to him, to that place where you need to be. I'm coming home, Lord, I'm coming home. I wandered far away from home, but Lord, I'm coming home. See the power of the gospel is to restore you to the place where you need to be with God. If you're here tonight, I ask that you stand at this time. And if you're here tonight and God has spoken to your heart through this message, if you feel like you hung your harp upon a place where you used to have joy and just don't have it anymore, it's time to pick up and get back to the place where you need to be with God. And sometimes all of us becomes backslidden in our heart when we fall away from the place where we should be with God. And we need to get back to that place, knowing that we're free, that we have been delivered, and remain there and get away from sin. If the Lord has spoken to your heart tonight, then come to the altar and mean business with God tonight. Thank you so much for this evening. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you just would be with us. Lord, help us to grow closer to you today, to grow closer to your word, to, Lord, not get into the place of singing, of not being able to sing, of not being able to have joy because we've fallen into the area of sin. But help us to walk away from it and draw close to you, and you will draw close to us. In Jesus' name, amen.